Amen. Turn in your Bibles to Romans 14. We're going to speak to you on the law of liberty. The law of liberty. If you have an NIV Bible, it will call these things disputable matters. Disputable matters. Now I'm reading to you out of the King James, New King James Bible. So it will call it doubtful things. And so this is a very interesting portion of Scripture. And I want you to hear me today, what I bring to you, what the Spirit of the Lord will bring to you. Romans chapter 14, we'll read the first 10 verses. It says, "Receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things." That's where the NIV would say disputable matters. "For one believes he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received him. Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be able to stand, for God is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day above another, and another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he who does not eat to the Lord, he does not eat and gives God thanks." That sounds pretty right, doesn't it? Says verse 7, "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both the living and the dead. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, what an honor it is to stand in your presence, to know that we have gathered together in faith, believing that you would be right here. Lord, your word declares, Lord, that you are here in the midst of us. And Father, your word also says that in your presence is fullness of joy. So Father, I thank you, Lord, that hearts are made light in you, Lord, that joy will be restored, that people will find wisdom in your scriptures, Father, that you will do remarkable things that a man cannot do, Lord. But Lord, we're asking you, Lord, right now, through the Holy Spirit of God, that you would reach down and that you would grab our hearts, and that you would begin to manipulate the things of God into our hearts so that we would no longer think our thoughts, that we would begin to think your thoughts. God, we lay everything that we are on the altar of sacrifice today. Father, there's not one of us that wants to leave the same way that we walked in this place. God, some of us, most of us, are still just a mess. And we need some straightening out, Father. We need to know the love of the Lord. We need to know that you care, Father. We need to know that you're working, Lord, even when we can't see it. Lord, the Word of God says that your judgments are right and righteous altogether. And God, we trust your Word. We believe in the Word of God. We believe it is truth over everything that we see or hear. Your Word is truth. So, Father, help us to hide this Word deep inside of our heart, that we will not sin against you, that we will be pleasing. But more than that, Father, that we would be life changers in this society, that we would shine, Father, like the stars of heaven in this darkness. God, I thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, we would not want to have service without you. Father, we have not come to hear the knowledge of a man. We have come to hear the knowledge of heaven. So, Lord, you're going to have to use a man. And, Father, right now, I yield my thoughts to you. I yield my tongue to you. Speak through me, Holy Spirit. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes to know what a scripture is saying, we have to know first what it's not saying. Does that make sense? Had to sort of pull out some things and say, this is not what this is saying. But the very first thing that I want to say about this passage of scripture, I want you to hear me and hear me well. Are you listening? Are you listening? I believe through the Spirit of the Lord, I get to say this. Well done. Well done. You see, this whole passage of scripture is saying, don't judge each other. Don't look at somebody that believes something a little different, holds on to something different, and judge them. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord would say to you today, well done. You have really lived this out in goodness. Just the fact that I could talk about our friend Bob, I would call him the church comedian. You know, he was Catholic, raised Catholic. He never really left that. He was a true child of God, a true believer. But remember when we used to collect the offerings, he would come and I'd ask him to pray. And he'd say, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I come before you, Lord. And then when he ended with the sign of the cross. Folks, we accepted that. Now, there are some churches would say, that shouldn't be accepted. You shouldn't do that. Nonsense. I don't care where you've been raised. You learned something. You were raised in the Episcopal or the Presbyterian or the Pentecostal church or the Catholic church. It don't matter. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Right? Get what you need to get. They taught you some great valuable things. Well, let's keep growing. Let's keep going on in the Lord. So I wanted to start by saying disputable things are things not mentioned in Scripture. So here is, you know, when we talk about the freedom of the Lord, that's what this passage of Scripture is talking about. We have freedom in Christ. But we don't have freedom to sin. We have freedom from sin. It's a whole different, that today we seem to have a Christian world that wants to live any way they want to live and then say, I have freedom. That's nonsense. That's going to take you to hell. Well, I knew this is going to be exciting. I've got a few scriptures from you. We are free from the bondage of sin and death. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth is God's word. John 8:36, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. In Luke 4 is when Jesus was quoting the passage of scripture from Isaiah. And he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Aren't you thankful? To proclaim liberty to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind. Listen to this. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. We live in a society that's very oppressed and very depressed. And Jesus wants to set them free from that. And you may be that person today. See, I don't believe that a Christian can be demon-possessed, but I think you can be oppressed. The Bible says nobody can serve two masters, right? You can't serve God and Satan at the same time. And you may be here today feeling a little bit of oppression, and I believe that the Lord wants to remove that. In Romans 6:6, he says, knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has freed us from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And chapter 8 of Romans also says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. When sin is working in your life, it brings forth death. And as before you're born again, you are being led by Satan whether you know it or not. So Jesus come to set you free from that. Now if you believe that I'm not teaching you correctly, keep it in context, right? Keep it in context. We're in Romans chapter 14, but if we back up to Romans 13 and see how he ends it, and you know that Paul wrote a letter. He didn't put these chapters and verses in there. He just wrote his letter. So he ends chapter 13 by saying, it's high time to wake out of sleep. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the church. He's talking to a church that's about 60 years old. I'm talking to a church that's about 2,000 years old. And if he felt the need by the Spirit of God to say it's high time to wake out of sleep, I got news for you. It's especially good for today. You see, the church is the ecclesia. It's not a building. This could become a car lot next week. You're the church. Jesus called you out of darkness to show people the light of Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador for Jesus Christ, right? So you're the church, and he is saying it's time for the church to wake up. You know what you need to wake up to? Satan is on the prowl. Satan is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, he's taken a lot of captives. It's high time, church, you wake up. You see, if I had the remedy to heal cancer, how would you think of me if I sat on it? I just didn't share that with the world. Oh, the Lord gave it to me, but I don't know. I just didn't bother getting that word out. You'd think pretty low, wouldn't you? You mean you had the key? And you didn't tell? Folks, you got the key to life. You have the secret formula to setting people free from darkness, from Satan's power. You and the power of the Holy Ghost that's in you can speak to the legion and drive those demons out of legion, set that man free. You know, another thought that I had after your story of telling that story of Legion, and he didn't, you know, he asked Jesus, can I go with you? And Jesus said, no. And I thought, mean Jesus. Come on, Jesus, this is a brand new Christian. Let him go with you. But he said something. He said, go back to your town and tell them what great things I've done for you. He was from an area called Decapolis. That means the 10 cities. I think you covered this. Well, the next time that Jesus goes to Decapolis, it says large multitudes came out to hear Jesus. Now, in my mind, I'm thinking, why did that happen? Because of a man they used to call Legion went back to his home. And he said, look what Jesus has done for me. And now they hear that Jesus is coming to the area. And they're saying, I want to meet that man. I want to meet the man that could do that. Right? So that's us. That's you. That's me. It's time, it's high time, Christians, that we stop being secret Christians. God's not called you. You know, the devil don't care if you set your tail in this seat. As long as you keep your mouth shut through the week. Did that rhyme? I think I could maybe make a... put a rhythm. Give me a bebop, somebody. It's high time. And then he says this. We need to cast off the works of darkness. Now, in Ephesians 5:11, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Paul wrote that to the believers at Ephesus. And in Galatians chapter 5, he expounds on these. Now listen to this. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're adultery, fornication. Now that word fornication, the Greek word is porneia. It's the word that we get pornography from? Many people would argue that the Bible doesn't talk about pornography. It just did. Just get that. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Greek word is pharmakia. Means drug use, right? Hatred, contention, jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension. That's an argumentative spirit. Heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I just want you to know in chapter 14 what he's not addressing. See, you can't claim freedom from this list. You can't claim that I've got the freedom of Christ to live in adultery, to view pornography. I have the freedom of Christ to be lewd, nasty, dirty-minded. No. See, when you go against the Word of God, there's judgment for that. I don't know, but it just doesn't seem like anybody's preaching this anymore. He says, walk properly, not in fighting, drunkenness, lewdness, which is being obscene, lust, strife, and envy. The fourth thing he says, put on the Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Church, if we could just do that. If we could just put on the Lord Jesus. I think we need to put him here first. Let's cover our mind and our thoughts with the Lord Jesus so that we don't think the way we used to think. We begin to think the thoughts of Christ. And then he says this, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. That's what I'm talking about. See, you can say all day long, well, I'm free in Christ. But if you're claiming that freedom to live a sinful lifestyle, you're making provision for your flesh. So you're going against what the Word of God just taught you. Now, do we have freedom in Christ? Absolutely. But it's freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. Right? We ought to be the best citizens in the world. We ought to be clear-minded. We ought to be honest and full of integrity. And I believe, by and large, we are. Just like to remind you every once in a while. So when he gets to this portion of Scripture, he's talking to a brand new church that has come out of Jewish religion. And some of them have held on to some of the doctrines. And it's a point of contention, or it could be. And so he's telling them, don't judge each other, love each other, right? So the first thing I wanted to tell you is there are stages to Christian growth, just like there are stages to your babies growing up. Now, you need to listen closely because I want to bring out an erroneous thought in the body of Christ today. We have babes in Christ that are learning to walk, and the church is helping them to walk in Christ. Then we have toddlers and adolescents, young people, and then we have adults who should be mature in the Lord. Let me tell you what we don't have that the church sometimes will mistakenly say we do. We do not have carnal Christians. That's a misnomer. Those two words do not go together. There's no such thing as a carnal Christian. See, the Bible says carnality is enmity against God. So how could a Christian be carnal? We're not carnal. You may be a babe. You may be still struggling with sin. That's okay. God give you grace. God'll help you overcome those things. But here's what we have done. We have made a new division so that we can accept people living a lifestyle of sin. And we just call them carnal Christians. It's absurd. It's wrong. It's from the pit of hell. You see, in the New Testament, on the day of judgment, Jesus is going to look at some people and he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you. And they're going to say, wait just a second. I was in church every Sunday. I cast demons out in your name. I did this and I did that. Jesus is never wrong. So where is the problem? The problem is they lived in a lifestyle of sin. They weren't a believer. But they are sitting among believers. You see, we have this way of when we're together, if something should happen today and we cast a demon out of Treva today, to God, help me pray, would you? Then you might be talking to somebody you know and love, and you would say, well, we cast the demon out of our pastor's wife today. Why would you say that? Because you were in the room. You felt like you were a part of it because you were in the room. Sometimes we have this unique ability to feel like we're Christians because we're in the room. Folks, it's all about having a personal relationship with Christ. You can't just be in the room. You got to be in Him. John says in 1 John that you're not a believer if you continue in a lifestyle of sin. Do we sin? Yes, we sin. There's not a person in here that doesn't blow it. And when we do, we have an advocate with the Father. We say, forgive me, Jesus. And you pick up and you go on because He forgives you. But there's a difference in living a lifestyle of sin and sinning occasionally. See, when you live a lifestyle of sin, you're not a believer. Boy, this is hard, isn't it? So I know that we want to say, but what about God's grace? God's grace delivers you from sin. Not to go back into it. I was afraid it might get really quiet. So he tells us not to argue and judge each other through disputable matters. Disputable matters are things not mentioned in the Bible. Those lists that I just read to you are not disputable. That's God's word that says you got to come out of this. And then there's another word right after that verse in Galatians that talked about the work of the flesh. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is this. See, you can ask the Lord, Lord, which list do I have? Which one am I living in? Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. And the last one, gets me, self-control. That means you can't eat all the chocolate you want. So there are things that we are going to disagree on, but you don't have to be disagreeable. You don't all have to think alike to be alike. Does that make sense? We can worship with those who may not totally agree with us. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says this, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That is probably the most misunderstood portion of Scripture in the Bible. Because people say that, and then they'll say something this stupid. Well, me and Jesus has got our own thing going. Nonsense. That will take you straight to hell. You and Jesus hadn't created a new way of salvation. There's one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the only way. Don't believe Oprah, who says there's like spokes on a wheel. There's many ways to God. That's nonsense. There's one way. And that way is Jesus Christ. We've got to believe that together. So what does he mean when he says work out your own salvation? See, there are things that you're going to get revelation on strictly for you that you're going to believe. See, I grew up in an alcoholic house. My dad was an alcoholic, and it pretty much ruined my childhood. And so for me to take a drink would be sin for me. But I can't preach that as the Word of God. That's Eric to Eric, no, no, don't touch that. You know what that does. Stay away from it. But what does the Word of God teach? Don't be drunk. Don't overdo it. It teaches you balance. Now, I want to tell you this. I believe there is scriptural doctrine when you really begin to study it. The Bible calls us kings in the New Testament in Peter. And the Bible says in the Old Testament, in Proverbs, I believe, he says, kings, don't even look at it. Because you're going to need your judgments to be right. So don't even look at it when it begins to turn, when it begins to ferment. I believe that there's great wisdom in telling people of God, folks, don't even touch it. Stay away from it. It will bring nothing good into your life. But from the Word of God, it says don't be drunk with wine. Don't use it in excess. So that's what we teach. I may have the belief that I need to pray an hour a day, but that don't mean I can tell you, hey, God wants you to pray an hour a day. He didn't tell you to pray an hour a day. He told me to pray an hour a day. Right? That's what the Lord is speaking to me. Today we have Messianic Christians. This is something fairly new. And Messianic Christians are abiding by the Old Testament law in when it comes to dietary restriction, things like that. And the church sometimes does this with that belief. Well, what's wrong with that belief? As long as their faith is in Christ for their salvation, nothing wrong with it. My son does that, and we rib him quite a bit, and I don't like it because I can't eat bacon when he comes home. But if he wants to give up, you know, pork and shrimp, that's up to him. He believes that's pleasing the Lord. Okay. I can live with you with that. You see what I'm saying? I don't know if you lived through the worship wars in the 80s. I was leading worship in the 1980s. And through the 80s and the early 90s, churches divided over worship. Because some people, they grew up with the hymns and they wanted to sing hymns, but the new young people wanted to sing these new courses. Now, even in this church, we always try to sing a hymn. It's because Treva and I love hymns. And every once in a while when she pulls a hymn out, I hear the worship team going, oh, man. It is not their favorite to play, I promise you. But we have this belief, Treva and I, that we do not want these kids to grow up and not know these rich hymns of the faith. I'm going to tell you, it's sometimes some of those hymns that have got me through difficult times. The doctrine in those hymns is very rich. So that's why we're very intentional with the worship that we do. The courses, we believe, just takes you right into the presence of God. They're also rich. There's some that are being written that are just got a bebop. They just got a good beat. We're not wasting our time with them. We want something that's both. Something that will speak to your soul. Something that when you're going through a real trial, you can sing that song and feel the Spirit of God lift you up. Right? So we've tried to divide over worship. Many churches, and you'll know this, many churches have two services. They'll call one traditional and one contemporary, right? What are they doing? They're trying to please two different groups of people. Can we just not get along? Let's read 14 one more time. We ought not have to divide to get along, right? You know, there's people that do not believe in having a Christmas tree in the sanctuary or in the church. That's bringing paganism into the church. There's people that don't believe in Easter egg hunts. There's people that definitely don't believe in the Easter bunny. My brother is a pastor and he literally had the Easter bunny come on Resurrection Day. I said, are you out of your mind? What are you thinking? You know, as I studied this, I've got more. Halloween. Should a Christian celebrate Halloween? These are real differences in the body of Christ. How much is too much for a preacher to make? You tell me, would you? How much is too much for a preacher to own? What Bible do you use? Do you use the NIV? Do you use the King James? There's nothing wrong with asking somebody and finding out what they like. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if it brings a division with you, that's wrong. Does that make sense? See, if you come to church for the first time and he says, he's preaching out of the King James, the new version of the King James, I can't go with that. I've just got to go to another church. That's nonsense. You see, the devil is into division. God's into unity. You know, a few years ago in California, they had this come up in the church. Is breast augmentation wrong? If I want to get a boob job, kid, my wife is going, oh dear God, I knew he was going there. Can you get a boob job and stay in Bridge of Hope Church? And she would say, that's enough of that. Are you getting me? I'm not trying to be dirty. I'm just saying, Bible doesn't talk about boob jobs. Talks about modesty. I know that's, thank God it doesn't talk about. Can you get a sex change? That's wrong. You're going against God, what God created. Boob jobs, you're just helping him out a little bit. Oh, I'm sorry. Jesus. He goes on and he asks this question. Listen to this. He said, who are you to judge another man's servant? You see, when you judge somebody else in the body of Christ, you're judging God's servant. If God is pleased with that person, I don't think I want to lay my hand on him. You know, there's one thing that'll get another man to fight, and that's when you talk about his wife. Now, he may talk about his wife all the time, but if you join in and you say, she is really a piece of work, isn't she? Buddy, you're going to get his dandruff up. He's going to be, I'm serious. He will be ready to throw down on you because men will not tolerate another man talking about the person that he loves. Do you know that we are the bride of Christ? Folks, please listen. You need to be careful. Don't bring the judgment of God on your life by talking about the bride of Christ. We have to be careful because it is God's wife. God loves. He says, none of us lives to himself. No one dies to himself. You know, we certainly have gone through some deaths in this church. And one thing it reminds us very much is those precious lives have really touched many, many other people, and they have left a mark on them. So I would ask you today, what kind of mark are you leaving in society? When we stand at your casket, my father-in-law used to always say, a man preaches his own funeral by the way he lives. What kind of legacy are you leaving? Let's live it for Christ. Let's make our words and our life count for Jesus Christ, right? So realize that there are people that are watching you. There are people that are looking at you saying this, so that's the way a Christian acts. That's a little bit scary, isn't it? So that's the way a Christian acts. He goes on, he says, if we live, let us live to the Lord. And if we die, let us die to the Lord. In other words, let your life be consumed with Christ. Seek first his kingdom. Seek first the ways of God. Live to please God. Don't live to please other people. You'll never please everybody. You know, I'm preaching to the guy behind the pulpit today. See, I can't preach to please you. I have to preach the Word of God. there's an element inside of me that wants you to be happy, that wants you to like me. But the bigger element is I want to be in heaven with you. So I'm going to tell you the truth. And if it offends you, I'm sorry. Get your life together. Ask God to forgive you. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Jesus is the judge of all of us. And guess what? He's not appointed me as second. I am not your judge. If you only knew me, you should be saying, thank you, Jesus. Listen to this, though. And I am not your Holy Spirit. In other words, I've been in churches before where the pastor would run himself ragged telling people about the sin in their life. That ain't my job. You hear me? It's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job is to preach the word to you and let the Spirit of God bring conviction if necessary. Hopefully just bring joy to your heart that you're living out the truth of the word of God. So you're not going to see me on your front doorstep saying, I've heard this about you. Now you got to stop this. No, you might catch me in my office praying for you. God, reveal yourself to them. You see, because it's easy to turn down another man. It's easy to say, oh, that preacher thinks he knows it all. But the Holy Spirit, He has your number. He knows how to get to you. He can work. Isn't it amazing how good He is at that? And just know that when the Holy Spirit convicts you of something you're doing wrong, it's for your benefit. He's not a killjoy. He's not trying to get you to not enjoy life. He's trying to get you to enjoy life so that you would see the fulfillment of your destiny in Jesus Christ. My job is the same as yours, to love God with all my heart, soul, and might, and to love my neighbor as myself. Folks, I want to end the same way that I started. I think this church is remarkable in doing this. I think that you do a great job of loving each other. You know, of all those things that I mentioned, except for the boob job, of all those other things that I mentioned, I could point to people in this congregation and say, this one over here doesn't believe in Christmas trees in the church. This one over here doesn't believe in egg hunts. This one over here don't think we should celebrate Halloween. This one over here doesn't think we should... And you know what? This thought just occurred to me when I was taking a shower this morning. You know what? You don't know who they are. You know why? Because of love. Because they have chosen. That's a personal thing with them. And if you have an Easter egg hunt, they may choose to say, I'm not going to be a part of that. Hey, let them. That's okay. You know what? Bless God. That's okay. We don't want you to, if that's conviction of yours, we don't want to dumb that down, but we're going to do this. Right? Pray for the kids that, as they enjoy this. I just thought that was so neat that there's people in this house and you don't know who they are that have those convictions. You know what they're doing? They're not arguing over disputable matters. They're living Romans 14 out. Well done. Well done. Amen. I think the most serious thing that we'll ever talk about is knowing that we're free in Christ, but not free to live a lifestyle of sin. And today, if you have found that that was very convicting and the Holy Spirit was just needling you a little bit and saying, man, He's talking to you. You need to get that out of your life. You need to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm sorry. I've done some things. I've been living a double standard life and I repent of that. You know, I heard a preacher say that today the body of Christ is trying to manage their sin, not repent of it. You see, repentance is when you're going in one direction and you say, I repent of that, and you turn it around and you head in the other direction. Seems like some today are just trying to, how can I sin and still please God? You can't. You can't live two lifestyles. And honestly, I've done it. It's the worst. It's the worst thing in the world. Drive yourself crazy because you'll be miserable in both. You're miserable in the world. You're miserable in the church. Come out from among them. We need to rededicate our lives to Christ. And if you have been a person that has been standing in judgment of somebody that maybe believes a little different than you, ask the Lord to forgive you today. Ask the Lord to fill you up with love so that you'll just be more understanding of people in these areas. Again, like I said, Satan's into division. God's into multiplication. God's into unity. Would you stand with me? Does everyone have the elements for communion today? Did everybody get, raise your hand if you do not have an element and you want to take communion with us today. We believe that if you're a believer, you're more than willing and more than able to take communion with us. You don't have to be a member of this church. Before we receive this, I want us to take a moment. And if you need to repent, I want you to repent. You know, the truth of the matter is that's probably everybody in the house. There's probably not one person that didn't blow it this week. Didn't let your tongue go away from you. Didn't let anger take over. Maybe you put something before your eyes that ought not been there. Maybe you just dwelt on some unholy thoughts. Maybe you didn't do something that the Holy Spirit told you to do. That's a sin too. James says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, that's sin. So if the Holy Spirit prompted you this week to go across to your neighbor and just tell him that I love him. And you said, I just can't do that. I'm not that kind of person. You need to repent of that because that was a sin. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you, put it under the blood, and if He asks you again, straightway go across that street. Father God, I just lead this congregation today in the act of repentance. Lord, we are not a perfect people, but we are a forgiven people, and we are so thankful for the forgiveness of Christ. God, I thank you, Lord, that you forgive our past, our present, and our future. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we are only righteous because you made us righteous. You gave us that gift. You took our sin and you gave us your righteousness. So we stand before you today as being righteous in Christ. God, I pray, Lord, right now that we just put things under the blood of Christ, Lord. The blood that brings forgiveness, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, of all the things that we should have done that we didn't do or that we did and we shouldn't have. Forgive us, Lord. Father, we want to be pleasing in your sight. Father, as we pray, we want to thank you, Lord, for this piece of bread that we're getting ready to take because it represents the body of Christ, which was broken for us. Father, your body was broken so that we could receive healing. And your blood was poured out so that we would have life. And we thank you for both of those, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have put this in our hands so that we would take a moment and remember the sacrifice that you have made for us. Father, we take this full of faith, believing that you're going to do great things in our life. Because you are a God who causes us to triumph, a God who causes us to victory. And you said this, Lord, you said that if I've begun a work in you, I'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know we're a work in progress. But Lord, keep moving us forward. Keep improving us all the time. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Just take the bread out. This is symbolic of the body of Christ. Let us take it together. peel back the juice representing the blood of Jesus. Let us receive this together. Now let's just celebrate what God has done. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the work on the cross, that it is finished, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise be to your name for all that you've done for us. Lord, and I thank you for this church who is trying to live out your judgments, Lord, and your love. Father, empower us to be your presence in Henry County. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Denny, would you come forward? And Treva, go ahead and let's sing that.
Isn't God wonderful? It's just amazing. I don't know if anybody else managed to put all this together, but it was just amazing to me that we finished the service today with communion, because if you knew Bob Tyler as the Catholic, he took communion every Sunday. Remember, we used to have a basket of communion that sat up here, and every Sunday they would come and get it and take communion together. So it was wonderful. But on top of that, communion is one of those disputable things about how often you take communion. For generations, the church has argued about communion, about whether the bread literally turns into the flesh of Christ when you take it or not. And it's just one of those things that has divided the church. But it should not. It should be something that brings us together, right? So I just love how God put a nice, neat little bow on the end of service today with all that. So, anyway, raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may He keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.